Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. And, man, let's get it going on. Here is our Texans fall to 0-2 yesterday with a tough loss. Although, you know, this is the hardest first two games any team has had since 1968. Do you see that stat? Since 1968, this is the hardest start in the NFL. So that's 52 years, and nobody's had a tougher start than playing a team that won, 13 and another team that won 12? Yeah. Is that it? Anyway, so you know, I don't know what we expected. We did expect them. It would be nice if they played within the number so that they could have exceeded expectations. It would be nice if they wouldn't go for it on their own 34-yard line and give a great offensive team a short field when you and I were talking about it before. The game was actually playing out very well for the Texans.
Yeah, the game had been shortened. I mean, it took a long time to drive. You had a long drive. You know, it really wasn't the time to. I was thinking about this, and I understand the concept of thinking, okay, the Ravens score a bunch of points. You and I thought there was going to be over 30 points scored for the Ravens. So if that's your concept, then you've got to, you know, you've got to prepare accordingly, which is to score a lot of points. However, that early in the game, where the game had been kind of grinding down from the standpoint of time off the clock for those drives. There were a couple of long drives. I mean, you're talking about like two drives in the first quarter alone. Yeah. Two long-ass drives.
I loved it.
That means the possessions are going to be more important. They're going to be more valuable. So you don't just take that kind of chance. And if you're going to take that kind of chance, you don't have... You got to come up with better plays than this. You got to have better... How about... I got a great idea. Let's boot action where you've already seen a naked boot into... They're clearly playing Deshaun Watson on the naked boot looks. They're not going to give him an open look. I got an idea. Let's run him naked with the naked boot look into the face of a defense. Let's give that look. If you really thought people were going to... You thought the Ravens were going to buy into just an outside zone play? No, they knew it was going to be a pass play. They knew you were going to, on the backside, you were going to come with that.
I thought for sure he was just trying to draw him offside. Honestly.
After they called timeout... I thought they were punting.
They did whatever they had to do. They weren't going to be surprised by any play that you ran. You're on your own 34-yard line. It's only a 3-0 game. Why are you doing that? This is almost identical. Now, both of them happened in the second quarter, but this is the third time that he's done this. Denver, on his own 34-yard line, which he was the same yesterday, 34-yard line, but it was the second quarter, and you were way down. And I can even understand that a little bit more, but it turns out that was a really, really big play where you came up short on your own 34-yard line. And then the Kansas City playoff game where you're on your own 31-yard line and you did it again and you came up short. That's three times that you've done this and three times that you've failed. At what point can Jack Easterby call on God or Allah or Yahweh or somebody and somehow tell him to tell Bill, don't do that anymore. And it's the first half. If it was the fourth quarter and you're down two possessions, I get it. You got, you know, 5 minutes left in the game. I get it. But what are you doing in the first quarter of a 3-0 game? That just doesn't... Can't anybody control this guy? Can't anybody... Is there no coach up there that can say, Coach, this is a bad idea. Coach, this is a bad idea. Coach, punt the ball. Especially after they called timeout. Especially after you got to regroup, you got to come over, you wasted one of their timeouts. That was a small victory. You made them use a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't have three at the end of the half in case they needed it.
Which I thought is what the whole point of what they were
That's
doing
I did
was.
Too. Yeah. Or have them jump offside.
Yeah.
What are you doing? It's like he doesn't have... He's smart, obviously, but where's his football common sense? Where, you know, I mean... his clock management, his reviews, his uses of timeouts. I mean, and this, and I mean, there's, you have to look at these things, risk reward, and the risk is too great. It's all risk reward. All of those things is risk reward. What do you do in these situations? I don't. Can't anybody control this guy?
The reward.
Is everybody afraid to tell him no?
You still had to drive down the field. That's right about risk or reward. It's not like you were you're making this decision at the 40-yard line or the 42-yard line, even the 50-yard line. You're making this decision in your own end zone. You're giving them points.
If you're at the 42, I get it. What are you going to? You're probably going to change 20 yards of field position. Go for it,
right,
then.
100%.
That's fine. On your own 34-yard line?
Yeah, that early in the game. And Bill O'Brien's answer was, well, that didn't end up doing anything. We ended up coming back before the half. You cut it to 10. Like, what?
What?
What do you mean you came back? You cut it to 10. You know, they already had a cover at half. So the game, but, you know, to be honest with you, it's hard for me to get mad at the game. I mean, both games, I thought I had Kansas City winning by 15 the first game, and I thought the Ravens would win by, you know, 13 or more in this game. Remember I said 17-16, and then I said the Ravens would score two more. So that would be 31-16. What was the final score?
Oh, I don't know. 33-16.
Yeah, so actually I had almost hit this one too. These games are going the way I think. Of course, it wasn't 17-16.
No.
But they're going about like, you know, they're ending up about like I expect.
Yeah.
I can't say that this isn't strange.
But wait a minute. Your expectations are low though. I mean, 33-16, you had 31-15. That's not good enough.
No, but my expectations are accurate.
You're accurate.
They're
right?
Not low.
Well, right.
No. I think that this is how they... I guess they are low, according to what Vegas
says. You're
right.
They suck. That's what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I had them as 7-9. But according to what Vegas has, my expectations are low. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not only a cover, it's like more than twice the number.
I'm pretty sure Vegas got slapped on this game.
I mean,
They had to have. Anybody who thinks that the Texans were going to play within 7.5, that was just silly. That's just silly. I mean, it's just against a good football team, they just are not. They're just terrible. And Deshaun, I don't know. We're having this argument. Me and the guys I watch the games with. Is he a great quarterback?
No, he's not a great quarterback right now. You can't. There's nobody who can call him a great quarterback. You can call him a good quarterback. The question is, when do you? At what point?
He doesn't make the plays that the great quarterbacks make.
No, he's not showing signs of greatness yet. He shows flashes.
Yes.
He'll flash and he'll show great plays. Great quarterbacks play consistently great. Like they string together multiple weeks and things like that. That doesn't happen with Deshaun. We see it in flashes. We'll see a play. We'll see this. We'll see a game. But no, he's not. He's not great right now, and this is a concern because you just paid him like he's one of the best quarterbacks in all of football.
Yep. No. Well, here's the thing. My argument was, well, if you throw everybody in the hopper, Deshaun still comes out about fifth as the fifth pick in the draft. I mean, because youth, because ability, because quarterback. Deshaun still comes. And listen, Russell Wilson might be number one right now. Holy crap.
He looks so good.
He's so good.
This is his year. Yeah. I think it's finally his year to win an MVP.
Yeah. I mean, has he even finished in the – what's his highest finish?
I'll look it up. But, yeah, the Seahawks have decided, at least through the first 2 weeks, all you, Russ.
It's all you.
Because it's been at some points, even when he was ascending, that we want to run the football. Yeah, we got Chris Carson, a bunch of guys no one really thinks are really good, but we want to make sure we run the ball quite a bit. Not anymore. Russ, it's all you. We'll see. We'll live and die with you in the second quarter, as opposed to depending on you in the fourth quarter.
And really, to be honest with you, this is really kind of who they've been since Marshawn Lynch was gone. I mean, people have not given Russell Wilson has been criminally underrated for I think his entire career. I mean, I used to argue for that when I was back at the other station, and that was. You know, that was like I was making those arguments 5 years ago. It's you look at his numbers, and it looks like Aaron Rodgers, and it has for the last 3 or 4 years. It's really, and he is a phenomenal scrambler. I mean, Russell Wilson is the best dual threat quarterback in football. True dual threat quarterbacks. Although I would argue that
Lamar's starting
to really throw it a lot better.
He's throwing it pretty well.
That's one of the things that's really popped off screen to me yesterday was, man, he threw from about five different arm slots. He is starting to really throw with much better accuracy. Russell Wilson
hitting windows as opposed to like Deshaun waiting, he's getting
better and better. See, this is the problem. I can't tell you what I've seen Deshaun get substantially better in. What facet of the game?
It's so funny. Greg Roman is you would take Greg after Greg Roman was here. I never thought Greg Roman is a really good. I would take Greg Roman over anything. The Texans, Tim Kelly, Bill O'Brien, whatever. You know, obviously you take Shanahan. And you take Andy Reid, but Greg Roman is up there right now, doing what he's doing with Lamar.
As far as development's concerned, absolutely.
Yes. He did it with Cap too.
Yep.
When Cap was at his best.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Greg Roman was there.
Yep.
And the common refrain as we get back to Deshaun a little bit is every time you see him not be great, and then you add the fact you have an awful decision by Bill O'Brien, it's like, man, Bill O'Brien's really holding Deshaun back, and maybe some of that's the case, but I'm just wondering when we're going to stop thinking about Deshaun in the national title game. When we start to evaluate him as simply from when he got drafted to now. Because I'm with Lance. As much as I loved that guy in college, and it's weird to say he wasn't even on my favorite team, I mean, is there a giant difference from what we saw when he ended his rookie season to what he is now?
Mm-mm.
Well, actually, you want to know the truth? I think he was more excited. I think a lot more exciting his rookie year.
You just laid out where Lamar Jackson was better.
Yeah.
Where is Deshaun Watson better? Like, what facets of his game? Yeah. And that's what I struggle to come up with that. And I don't see him. And this is all mutually exclusive from Bill O'Brien stuff. We all know Bill O'Brien is not great. We all know Bill O'Brien has not.
But it's not mutually exclusive, though.
I'm making this comment. It doesn't mean I don't think Bill O'Brien has something to do with this. Right. I think Bill O'Brien has to help make him better too. But at some point, you have to acknowledge this whole thing that Deshaun Watson can't make throws unless Bill O'Brien is not his coach. That's ridiculous. Once a play is called, once a guy is open, you got to hit the guy.
Yeah.
You know, when you're on the move, you're running and you throw it at his feet. That's a play that an elite quarterback has to make. You're paying him like an elite quarterback.
He had Brandon Cooks running open, and he just flat out missed him. That could have made it a one score game, and he just flat out missed him. And you know what? And when you're playing a great team, and you need your guy that you're paying all that money to, or going to pay all that money to, you need him to make a play. That's what that guy's got to do. And that guy, he ain't this whole team. With a grain of salt, they played the Chiefs and the Ravens so far. So we got to take it with a grain of salt. 713 ESPN 97.5. Time to get maybe they all need a little testosterone. Last
Well, time. I got a place for a men's T clinic. I don't think they would. Usually, you are approaching or over the age of 40 when low testosterone strikes. It happens naturally because although it can be, there is some hereditary components as well. But when your testosterone level drops, you'll see some telltale signs. I think the first and foremost is going to be your energy level is just going to sink. And it'll sink rather quickly. And you know, that whole feeling like you're a couch potato, like you just don't want to get up, you don't want to do anything, that is a testosterone problem in many cases. If you start having issues with your lean muscle mass declining, even though you work out, even though you eat right, that is one of those telltale signs as well that your testosterone levels may have dropped and dropped below a normal level. And when they drop below a normal level, your quality of life is going to diminish. But here's the thing. 5 locations in Houston, that's Men's T Clinic. They can get you in, they get you tested, they get your results back within minutes. And if you are low in testosterone, they can start to create a tailor-made product, tailor-made program for you to get your testosterone levels back to where they were and back to those. You'll start to see those areas of concern turn into strengths again for you, just like when you're in your 20s and your 30s. You don't have to go through life with diminishing results. You can get back to being the real you with Men's T Clinic. MensTClinic.com, MensTClinic.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, you know, we had a fourth and one early in the game, and then the game was changed a little bit. We punted that one, and then they went down and kicked the field goal, but they possessed the ball. So, again, we felt like we needed possessions in the game, so we decided to go for it. We put a play out there. They called timeout. We changed the play. The play didn't work, and so we didn't convert it. But that's just the way it works. You know, they did a better job than us on that, and we just need to work hard to improve.
Sounds easy enough to get better. That didn't sound.
How about we make better decisions? How about we put our team in a better place, better opportunity to win?
We don't make knee-jerk decisions.
Yeah, you did. Well, it wasn't knee-jerk because you had a timeout to rethink it. That's the problem with this organization. Nobody can tell them, no, don't give Laremy Tunsil, don't give them 2 ones and a two for, no, don't give Laremy Tunsil $4 million more than the guy, the next highest paid. No, don't trade DeAndre Hopkins for a second rounder and David Johnson. No. Nobody can tell them no. Don't go for it on fourth and one from your own 34 in a 3-0 game. Nobody can tell him anything. He is the emperor.
Mm-hmm.
He's the emperor of the
everything.
Team, of the world.
Yeah, of everything. Brandon Cooks actually showed up, though, yesterday.
What is that? Well, what?
Well, that was, I mean, you gave him a second rounder for him. He's replacing DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, touchdown.
Yeah, with DeAndre Hopkins. Yeah, somebody said, hey, is DeSean... Obviously, DeSean misses him. Did DeAndre Hopkins make DeSean better? Yes. DeAndre Hopkins won 50-50 balls. Yes, he made him look better.
I think every true wide receiver one is going to make their quarterback better.
Yes. He's making Kyler Murray look pretty damn good.
Yeah, but then again, you know, the other thing is once you don't have them, you have to learn to adjust, and that's the sign of a great quarterback. You know, I would argue Russell Wilson hasn't had true great wide receiver ones for most of his career, and he's been a great quarterback.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean... His great wide receivers were who? I mean, this is as good as it gets right now as DK Metcalf, I think, is, and this is his second year in the league. He's made do with whatever he's had.
Oh, yeah. You look at Super Bowl his wide receivers, with guys, and well, they played pretty well.
I mean,
Tyler Lockett, and they played pretty well.
They had Doug
Baldwin.
Doug Baldwin, but that's not a, you know,
no.
That's not a handle.
No, but remember after they won, and everybody was saying, well, they don't have the receivers to win. They all went, really? Oh, really? Yeah. Look at the plays. And they made some plays for him. They did. But, yeah, Brady threw 50 touchdown passes when he had Randy Moss.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what?
It was never as good before and never as good,
no,
after.
No.
From a production standpoint. Whenever Devontae Adams was hurt and Aaron Rodgers had to try to make do with that slot.
Yeah.
It was not easy. I mean, he still does it though. And that's the thing. And that's where DeSean is going to have to, but this is the second game of him adjusting without, but I thought 100% he was going to have trouble adjusting to this because you don't just, and you don't even have big targets for him. They're smallish targets. This is going to be a big adjustment without, DeAndre Hopkins. It could ultimately make him a better quarterback. Potentially, or could really hurt him. No, one or the other.
There were times too. I mean, Cobb had 5 catches, and
Akins
and Cooks
had a bunch.
Cooks had 5 catches. Akins was targeted, and that's good because he's their best receiver. Fells got his touchdown, which he does. That's what Darren Fells do. You know, there were times you're looking at, and again, it was the Ravens. You're not as good as the Ravens. You're just not. This is where you find out Pittsburgh. That's where you should be as good as Pittsburgh. you should be as good as Pittsburgh.
You're in Pittsburgh.
You're in Pittsburgh, you're but there's no. I mean, it's not like there's a huge home field advantage.
No, but that's a game. That's a game. If you're about it.
Yeah.
If you're a team that has been, you know, a division winning team, which is what they have been for three of the last 4 years, then you need, or three of the last 5 years, I guess, then you need to, then you need to step up and win that game.
This is more of a, that's what I always say about A&M. Oh, well, wow, they lost to Alabama and they lost to LSU. Okay. But what'd they do against the Mississippi States? What they get into, because that's where they were when Jimbo got, that's where they were. What are they doing against those teams? Because they have to win those games.
Yeah.
Even Auburn, you got to go and beat Auburn. You know what the Texans need to do? The Texans need to go and they need to go beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh. This is more of a team. This is
Pittsburgh
where
is
you are. Yeah. Pittsburgh's Auburn.
Yeah, you got to go win that game.
You got to win that game.
To prove, I'm not saying it's easy. You're probably going to be a small dog. I would think you're going to be like field goal probably. But that's the kind of game you got to go win to right the ship.
Yep.
And there's no reason that you can't.
No.
The Steelers had to hang on against Jeff Driscoll. Against Courtland Sutton got hurt. Drew Locke got hurt. They had to hang on. You got Von Miller's out. They had to hang on against Jeff Driscoll. So the Steelers can be beaten. Steelers can absolutely be beaten. Let's get Brian in here. If you guys have comments on the game, 713-780-3776. We got lines open. We'll get you in right away. 713-780-3776. What's going on, Brian?
Hello?
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, man, yeah, I called Friday and gave y'all a prediction. Tell me you got paid.
Oh, yeah, we got paid. Well, we knew. Hey, I
oh, he said under, that, too.
It ain't.
Oh, yeah, went under.
Yeah, it went under. 49.
Yeah, it went under. I told you
49,
guys.
That's right.
Yeah, 49 went under.
Let's take it. Hey, let's every week, let's get paid off Bill O'Brien, guys. I'm out.
Well, it's 2-0.
Yeah.
I don't like getting paid like that, though.
No, how about what? No, I like them this week against Pittsburgh. I like them this week.
I kind of do, too, actually.
No, yep.
I kind of do, too.
I think they step up. You know what they don't do is they start – Bill O'Brien teams start in a hole. Go look at his seasons where he was 0-3 and they went on 11 straight wins. He's been 1-4 and won the division with 9-7. These teams actually step up. He wasn't supposed to win these games. They won.
Now
it would have been nice if they would have just played better and not made dumb mistakes.
The rush was pretty good in yesterday's game. They got after Lamar Jackson. They were able to keep him inside the pocket, which I thought was impressive. That takes, you know, they ran some twists to try to make sure that they didn't give away that he couldn't step up inside the pocket and take off. But you know, the problem was they got the living crap kicked out of them in the second half in a running game, and really, especially in the fourth quarter. That Mark Ingram, where Mark was looking for someone to tackle him on that fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see how badly it was overloaded?
But did you see Zach Cunningham just run by him?
Yeah, it was bad.
That was
Zach
terrible.
Zach has not played well since he got paid. And
he had 15 tackles.
They had,
but that was terrible.
Let me. By the way, in the Texans news and notes, they spotlight all the good stuff. They said, first time since whenever the three players had 10 tackles. You know what that means? The other team had the ball a lot and ran it a lot against you.
Yep.
For you to have that many players with double-digit tackles
means
you were having to tackle a lot.
And who were they?
Quit pretending like those were good
stats.
Your
two safeties and your linebacker. What? That's not good.
Can we all just admit how upset we were when we found out this was part of the late block? Like, you're like, man, I gotta watch this team till 6.
Why can't they 6:30? Start at noon? Like they,
yeah,
yeah.
I was like, all right. I woke up. I was like, all right, time for the Texas game. Let me slog through this thing because everyone knows how it was gonna go. This is one of the most boring teams in all of football. I'm just gonna put that out there. They're pretty boring to watch. So I'm looking. I was like, where's the Texas game? I was like, what? 3:15.
3:25.
3:25. I was like, I got to sit through this with this team till after 6 o'clock.
Well, did you keep it on? Did you see Coach O's mom on 60 Minutes?
No, I didn't see that.
She's spectacular. Now, I will tell you this. I've gotten a little taste of Deep Woods, Louisiana, and, you know, Catahoula and Lauraville. And places like this, I work there, and my wife has people from there. Can I tell you, she is a gem. Coach O's mom is a gem. You can barely understand anything she says, and she is Cajun. She was wonderful. You go look up 60 Minutes Coach O's, because you can probably find it, and you got to watch her. She's spectacular. Spectacular. Let's get Frank in here before break. What do you say, Frank?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I wanted to talk about their lack of excitement yesterday. I saw Deshaun break two tackles, and he was still scrambling. And he had that look downfield where he usually hooks up with D-Hop, and D-Hop wasn't there, and the poor guy looked disappointed in the middle of a play.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. You're right. That's where D-Hop can break open. Apparently, nobody can get open when Deshaun has got four. That was like a 9-second drop back. He's running for his life, beating two guys, steps, moves, man, along the sideline, and nobody's open? Really? You guys can't get open in 9 seconds? Come on. It's 727 ESPN 97.5. You want a grill?
It's grilling season.
What?
It's grilling season. How about the big DS? They've got a DCS truckload sale going on right now. There's so many different grills going on, and I want to tell you about Texas Grill Shop. This is where I got started. I had never even grilled. My parents, you know, my dad wasn't a griller. Nothing. By the time I was 30 years old, and it was actually Michael over at Pete's Fine Meats who told me about the Traeger grill. He's like, this thing's incredible, and taught me how to use that. He told me about Rick Martin, who ended up getting it for him, and so I became friends with Rick and Michelle Martin. I ended up getting a Traeger from them. I've had a Traeger, a Green Mountain. I use Memphis right now. They've got a great sale going on Traegers right now. And these wood pellet grills, I have to tell you, they are so fine-tuned and so perfectly tuned in with the temperature. There's almost no variance on temperature now once you set it. There's a variety of different wood flavors that you can use. And it truly becomes such an easy process to get delicious barbecue every single time out. Beef ribs, pork ribs, brisket, steaks, it really doesn't matter. The Traeger grills can get that done for you. That's just one of many that are out there that are doing a great job. Pits and Spits locally, they are on sale right now. If you want to check out the Great Fall Sale, where you can see all the latest rubs, marinades, barbecue accessories, and of course grills, get to my friends over at Texas Grill Shop. It's the best spot in the city, and there should be one in every city in the state of Texas. TexasGrillShop.com off Southwest Freeway, right there at the Greenbrier exit. TexasGrillShop.com.
ESPN.
97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Stupid. It was selfish. It was a stupid play. It was selfish. I've spoken to Ross before, so it pisses me off. I mean, it's a very selfish move late in the game. It's dumb, very dumb to hurt your team in that type of setting for no reason.
That was JJ. Asked about Blacklock getting tossed from the game. Yeah, you just don't hear JJ. Now, that's a rookie, and maybe, you know, he's trying to teach him something, trying to get in his kitchen and trying to tell him that's not how we do it. Especially, he's right, late in the game, that's a big penalty. It's kicked out of the game when you need guys. I mean, I don't know, because they didn't replay it. Never saw it. Anybody see it? Anybody see what he did?
Never saw it.
They didn't show.
No, they didn't show it.
Never showed it on TV.
No, but
No, it wasn't in the screen.
It wasn't.
How do you get ejected?
He must have thrown I don't know.
Yeah, they said he did. How do you get ejected? And you're walking off the field. They got all this time to show a replay. Yeah. They must not have captured it on. They must not have had a camera.
It is a Texans game. They only had two cameras, I think.
But it was a Ravens game too.
Well, but it was
The Ravens are a big deal.
Two premier quarterbacks playing.
We don't need. Speaking of cameras, can I tell you, Baylor, you suck.
What is that? Oh, okay.
Fox was there. Fox was setting up their cameras. Fox was pissed. Fox had that game as a national game. Baylor and
it's their big noon kickoff game.
Yeah.
Baylor and U of H is what John's talking about. Yeah. They U of H and Baylor came to an agreement.
And it came, and you know why they canceled it? Tracing.
Yeah.
Tracing.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Even the Baylor people.
I'm going to tell you why
upset.
They canceled it. You want to know why they canceled it?
Why?
Because Mac Rhodes was here and Major Applewhite started against Texas State, I want to say, their first game, and they lost. And the entire it deflated an entire fan base. I have a feeling that he was looking at, and not, this isn't the first one, because they were going to play another game, and he's like, eh, I don't know about this. They did not want any part of this. Baylor did not want to start against University of Houston and have that. They haven't played since the Southwest Conference broke up.
Yeah.
They did not want U of H to come in there and beat them, and this is how Dave Aranda starts. Now, maybe if you lose to a Big 12 team, okay. I'm going to tell you what. The Big 12, you better pick it up.
So why did they schedule it? What's the point?
Yeah, that doesn't
no
make any sense.
No idea. But during the week, they were probably going, hey, wait a minute.
I heard the coaches were pissed at Baylor.
But he was trying to get a hold of Dana. I'm telling you, I don't know about pissed. Maybe the coaches were pissed. Mac Rhodes, we ain't playing this game. We ain't playing this game. I do not want this to be the way that Dave Aranda is starting. He did that with Major Applewhite. It deflated the entire program when Major Applewhite lost.
How long has Rhodes been there? Was that his first major hire? The Dave Aranda one, did he hire?
But what was their rationale? What was the reason?
The previous coach,
they traced it back to some players. They didn't have positive tests. They had a couple of positive tests, just like I think U of H might have had a couple as well. And then they go into the protocol, whatever. But
well, you do have to keep it from spreading from team to team. You do have to do that.
Well, they just claim tracing. Listen, you don't want to play a game. Second week, Aggies are playing at Alabama. Tracing. That's what I'd do. I don't think Alabama plays
so
a game this year.
You think they're just scared of Houston?
Well, yes. Yes,
because Baylor was favored.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do think.
Why do you think
they were favored?
Scared?
They went down to 3.5.
Why do you think they're scared, though?
I think that they were watching what the hell. University of Houston is going to be
a
lot better with all of the transfers in here now.
Well, maybe, but Houston hasn't done anything yet, though. No. They weren't good last year.
No, they weren't good last year.
So what would they have seen that they're scared of?
They don't have – that defense is totally different personnel. Totally different personnel.
So you're going on the record saying Baylor canceled because they were scared.
Baylor pushed out. That's what I'm going on the record saying.
From what I'm just reading the Baylor 24/7 report in their website talking about the game. As John mentioned – it was all about contact tracing. In fact, there was a question of whether they even actually had a positive.
I don't think they had. I don't even know if they had a positive.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Specifically, the ultimate factor behind this postponement of the game was a result of contact tracing, not positive results of conducted COVID tests on football players and staff members. Because the guidelines followed, multiple Baylor players were set to miss the game as a direct result of contact tracing and not due to positive COVID tests.
Well, that might be a double bubble then. If they were going to – so it's probably a combination. They thought if they were going to have to keep a bunch of guys out because of contact tracing and they thought that was going to diminish their chances of winning.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
If that was the case.
But you're not supposed to do that unless you lose – like, unless you don't have six offensive linemen or you don't have two of your quarterback or whatever, you're not supposed to do that. And I think they just went, F it, we ain't playing.
The Big 12, 53 players available minimum, 53 players, a minimum of 7 offensive linemen, 4 interior linemen. As the story continues, it does not, several Baylor players that were set to miss the game did not receive a single positive test. And despite also receiving multiple negative tests in the same time frame, were not allowed to return to team activities. They said it hit a position. They don't tell you what the position is, and they don't even tell you how many people were actually not going to be available.
They're full of crap. Baylor, not only are you, okay, just add this to murder and rape.
Oh, my goodness.
Holy moly.
Good God.
What a program. Nice job, Baylor.
Ooh-wee. We got to get him. He and Dana need to break up.
Yeah.
This man's too flagrant.
Dana tweeted out a picture of the U of H equipment truck in front of McLean Stadium and said something along the lines of "We are ready, and we were ready, and we'll stay ready." And then he just did an expletive type of he didn't actually write the expletive; he just used the symbols say an expletive.
Right.
So apparently, he wasn't thrilled either.
No. And here's the deal: they had the cops outside the hotel. They had the buses ready. I texted my boys, and Frankie Demaris is among them, that the game was canceled, and Frankie texts back, they just ordered more food for the buses. What are you talking about? They just ordered more food. This hit everybody at U of H, and then heard from Fox, and Fox was pissed.
This is the latest a game has been canceled.
This is the latest a game has been canceled. They said, you can't do this. You just can't do this. If you're going to cancel the game, you're going to – and I think
– they had expenses.
I'm pretty sure Baylor's paying – Baylor's paying U of H.
They have
to. They're paying expenses.
They have to.
And they're paying Fox.
They have to because Fox had their people there.
That's right.
This was their prime – not prime time, but it was their big game of the day. You got people setting up. You got trucks there.
You got CBS there in Marshall and App State. Like Baylor Houston was might as well be a headliner for this week.
Yeah.
Other than Miami Louisville – Miami, Louisville, and a bunch of nothing.
Yep.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Oklahoma State and Tulsa, one of the great games in college football history.
I can't imagine Baylor's going to get any preferential treatment from Fox going forward. Like, hey, you guys screwed us. I don't know if we're going to put you on a particular – we'll put you on FS2.
No, I'm going to tell you what. You know the Big 12 office got an earful.
They had to.
Yeah.
We've seen games canceled on a – Thursday even, but never on a – I don't remember a game being canceled on a Friday.
On Friday.
Not late afternoon on a Friday.
No, right. And they were getting on the buses. They were getting on the damn buses. They had everything. It was – that was – that's – you know what, Baylor?
Why are we keep talking about games that didn't get played? Why don't we talk about games that got played like my Miami Hurricanes?
No, not your Miami.
They look good. My guy Jordan, Brevin Jordan looked good.
My Derrick King looked
great.
There's
a slander.
No,
King,
in the chat
Jordan
about
our
King.
Hurricanes look great,
slander.
Del.
But from Lance,
yeah,
our Hurricanes
would.
Look great, Del.
You threw some slander on King early.
Yeah, you did.
Well, now I thought he's looking good. Then he kind of went back to looking like.
What are you talking about?
I can't wait to see him run routes.
What? What are you talking about? What bad throw did he miss in that game?
He was kind of
what?
He's a little just average.
You just making stuff up. He didn't miss any throws.
Hmm.
How hard is it to throw to that big tight end? Especially, how about when
that's what the spread offense
when
does.
When Louisville's like, who covers? What? We only had two. I'm like, oh my God, this is about to be a big play. And Jordan just took off down the field. It's like, oh. Everyone's screaming on the sideline, Derek, just do that one play.
That's kind of what the spread offense is
Miami
for.
Actually looks pretty good right now. They look good. They look like they got some talent out there. Who's that big safety knocking people's face off?
Amari Carter. He's a true old school safety. He can't cover anybody, though. I told you.
Obviously.
They actually have an offense that, you know, is modern, and all of a sudden, they might look okay. Although Louisville gave a 52 to a crappy Miami offense last year. Louisville just stinks defensively. That's who they are. They can run that outside zone, though.
Yep.
Oh, man, that kid Hawkins was making some plays. In the NFL yesterday, we'll get back to the Texans. I do want to mention, how about the amazing comebacks? We got to get to Dallas, Atlanta. Incredible. The incredible plays at the end of games. Dallas, Atlanta, you got 58-yard field goal kicked against the Chargers. And then what the Dolphins did for the backdoor cover at the end of that game, Fitzpatrick, just amazing, amazing comebacks at the end of games.
No, Chase, you're right. It was Tony Levine, not Major, that lost to Texas State. Tony Levine lasted 2 years. 2 years as head coach because of how disappointing
disappointing
that hire was.
His offensive coordinator lasted that game.
Yeah, one game.
Was fired.
One game. And then and Tony Levine lasted 2 years because of the start against Texas. And not only that, the first game the following year and in the middle of the year, like Tulane or Old Dominion came in and they are some crappy team. I'll go back and look at the schedule, but it was so disappointing. And I have a feeling that Mac Rhodes was like, we ain't doing that again. 742 ESPN 97.5. Look, the rains are here, bro. There's a chance that we get floods this week. We have a tropical depression. I don't even know what it is. It a tropical storm yet? Is it a tropical depression? Whatever the case may be, that's coming up. Galveston's already getting hit. What is your roof looking like? This is so, so important, people. You really, really, really need Caliber Roofing. I'm telling you right here and right now, it is so important that your roof hold up. And if your roof needs any work whatsoever, these guys can get there today. If you give them a call and it's an emergency, you've waited too long, but you know what? They're awesome. So call right now. If you have, you think you've got roof problems, 713-823-9355. 713-823-9355. 975roof.com. 975roof.com. And if you do, during this rain, during this week, if your roof doesn't hold up, if your roof is, you know, if you've got some leaks or you think, listen, we got to get this checked out, it's barely holding on by a string, get these guys over there. And if you've had roof damage before, get them there with the insurance company, and they'll help you out with that as well. This is so important this week and weeks going forward this fall, so important to have that roof being great. And Caliber Roofing and Exteriors will do that. 713-823-9355 or 975roof.com.
ESPN 97.5. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Did you, the Emmys were on?
I didn't even know until Tony sent me something on Dave Chappelle. He sent me Dave Chappelle's speech, where he basically MF'd everybody. The critics said I was this and that. Y'all can. And I'm like, oh man, the Emmys are on. I forgot about that. Mm. And so, because I was watching.
I remembered it.
I was watching the New England. Oh, by the way, New England Seattle game. Cam Newton gets stopped on a quarterback sneak at the 1 yard line to win the game against Seattle because they got. The third string safety comes and makes a play along with Collier, LJ Collier. It was they were to their third string safety. They had Quandre Diggs got kicked out for a bad helmet to helmet against N'Keal Harry. Then the backup Marquise Blair comes in, and KJ Wright on a tackle that was already done, he comes in to throw a little forearm shiver on top of the running back that was down. He misses the running back, hits his own safety right in the knee, and just collapses his knee. It was so bad. And so then they go down to their third safety. And
he makes the game-winning play.
And he came in and dodged. He just hauled ass in and basically got below the fullback, just undercut the fullback, and blew it up in the backfield along with LJ Collier, and they stopped because you really can't stop Cam Newton once he starts leaning forward, you're dead. But they got him so far in the backfield, they stopped him on the last play of the game with 3 seconds to go. They snapped it, direct snap. Cam tried to run it in, and they got him, and the clock ended. It was really some incredible. The Giants and Bears had a really close end of the game. The Steelers and Broncos did. Like, there was some, the Texans and Ravens, like, there was some really good ends of the game. The Texans almost got a second half cover if they would have, you know, scored a touchdown at the end of the
game. That would have been great.
I mean, they ended up punting on 4th and 17, but had that been a drive all the way down the field, a touchdown,
but, you know,
they would have had a second half a push, you know, which would have been a cover. Or they would have plus 3 and they would have tied in the second half. Just look for victories where you can get them.
Yeah, there were no victories.
Will Fuller, by the way, hamstring injury. True. I'm being serious. Fuller had a hamstring injury yesterday.
How would Whitney Merciless play?
Let me check here. Zero tackles. He played 59 snaps, zero tackles, zero sacks, zero anything. He's got 3 tackles for the year. Zero sacks. 3 tackles for the year.
How many? He must have had like pressures and hits. And
Nothing.
How much money have they paid?
$54 million.
Not just him. The 3 linebackers in the last 3 off seasons. Like
McKinney. Jacob Martin had a sack in the first game.
Yeah, but they're not paying him anything. That's great.
Yeah, I know, but
you're
he did.
About Zach?
Did.
Zach, McKinney, and Ooh, Merciless?
Yikes. Well, Zach's money comes in later, right? Or did it, it's not official now, right? Is that next year?
But he's still getting it.
Yeah, he'll get it.
So McKinney, Merciless, and Cunningham.
Yeah.
He didn't make
played
much of a difference.
Played great. I know you probably saw Zach Cunningham run right past Ingram for that touchdown.
I saw him miss a tackle on the outside that led to a first down.
No, it's good. They're good.
Was it against Dobbins or whoever it was against? He could have got him to the ground, tackled high, missed him, gave up a first down on a third down. It was great.
It's impossible to stop the Wildcat these days.
You mean something that hasn't been a thing since like 2009?
Yeah. Well, I mean, J.J. Watt proved it's impossible.
Beasley's is calling Whitney Casper the friendly four-year, $54 million outside linebacker.
That's a long title for
that. That is a long
title. It seems like it. Let's get Paul in here. Let's talk about the Baylor game. Hey, Paul.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I spent $500 on tickets for the U of H Baylor game on Thursday, and then 24 hours later, they canceled it. And you know, something stunk from the get go when it came out Friday morning. It just didn't sound right. And I got to agree with you, John. I think Baylor didn't want to play this game for whatever reason. They just hid behind the skirts of somebody and canceled the game outright. And I just want to kill somebody because it was such a gorgeous day. It was going to be beautiful up there and, you know, great football and all this kind of stuff. It's just a horrible way to kick off the year. And I hope Baylor goes 0-12, whatever. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, slow down. It is Waco. I don't know about beautiful up there.
Well, the sun is shining, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that. I mean, the day, yes, with the, yes.
Yeah, I think that's what he meant.
But you still had to go through Waco.
It just, I mean, U of H.
Waco is a lovely.
Yeah, I don't know what he's talking about.
Have you been downtown Waco lately?
I went last year to talk to Matt Rule.
Yeah.
Was it beautiful then?
Did you go through downtown?
It was, you know.
Yeah, well, you want to talk about a thriving metropolis.
Actually, they have, no.
What a dump.
You haven't been to, now this is just personal.
So hateful.
You haven't even been to that thing where they've got this incredible.
No. With the mall and everything, yeah.
No. The outdoor venue that they have, this home improvement couple. I don't know. Tyler Oberle knew who they were. This home improvement couple that's really famous. They've got some big thing out there. It's got like 8 food trucks, these 2 big indoor things. It's this incredible place if you're into home accessories and stuff like that.
Oh, good.
Which I'm not, but I was into the food trucks.
Ooh, food trucks.
But no, there's some great big thing out there that's really – there's some famous couple who dress up.
Okay. They food trucks is your claim to fame as a city?
No.
Well, they had that whole – suck. They had that FBI thing that happened too.
Oh, no. Yeah.
They do have that.
Yeah, they have that.
Yeah.
Yeah, anytime you say Waco. Yes.
Oh, Koresh? Why don't you just call it Koresh, Texas?
Oh, you no. Suck, Waco Baylor. Home Improvement. Sure. So, hey, Fixer Upper with Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Yeah, the intern typed up their name earlier.
It's supposed to be a really, really big deal.
How many Southwest Conference teams
are you, though?
Ducked Houston already? Ex-Southwest? The Rice has already ducked them. Yeah. Now Baylor, you throw Baylor on the list as well.
You know who's next? North Texas got a taste of SMU that last week and got their ass handed to them. North Texas supposed to come here. They ain't coming.
What? How many games is Houston going to play a game?
They ain't playing. I'm telling you. North Texas is going to
How are you going to?
Nah.
We got tracing issues.
Well, Seth might have the nuts to do it.
You think Seth Luttrell's scared?
I don't know. Seth Luttrell ain't scared of nothing. But he might go, I don't think so. I don't think we want this. I'm pretty sure we don't want none of this. 752 ESPN 97.5. I feel bad for those kids. But Dana had told me, he said, these kids are so ready to play. He said they were so heartbroken when he had to tell them that Baylor backed out. It's just terrible, Baylor. You suck. 752 ESPN 97.5.
You're so ugly to Baylor?
Well, don't do that. Just play your game, take your L, and move on. And move along. How about, you touched on it, but how about, what in the hell is Dan? What? How is it that you don't go and pick up that onside kick?
These guys not knowing the rules, like, we got to let it go 10 yards. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. How are there 4 guys waiting for this thing to helicopter its way across the 10-yard line?
They could have got it.
Dumbasses.
6 yards in.
Dude, like, seriously, that's something that can get a head coach. After the Super Bowl, after this, after Dan Quinn has just – his player saved his – after the Texans game last year, it looked like he was in a lot of trouble. Atlanta came back and played for him. He's just like, that is just the worst loss. That is the worst loss. Did you find a way to somehow lose that? And I remember watching it thinking, this would be incredible if he somehow found a way to lose this after what happened in the Super Bowl. And they did. And they did. And Greg Zuerlein with a kick, like it curved. That was an incredible kick. He put the ball on the ground, kicked it on one side, on the right side of the football, and it was doing a helicopter. But he had it, but it went, and then it made a right turn. Like, I guarantee he practiced that. That's what it does. And it ended up making a right turn, and it went 10 yards. And unbelievably, four Atlanta Falcons players were sitting there watching it, waiting for it to go 10 yards. And Dallas is like, cool.
Thank you. This is awesome. It was sitting there. It took forever to get 10 yards, and they're watching it. All right, that's coaching.
Yeah.
That's coaching.
Well, special teams coach.
When guys do, like, when we had the argument about Tunsil and he's jumping off sides, it's like, the guy, how do you teach a guy not to? I guess you kick his ass in practice every time or whatever you do that you can't jump up. But he jumps off. He false starts. What are you going to do? I mean, I don't believe that's coaching. That's on the guy. When are we going to blame the guy? But when you watch an onside kick, just sit there and watch because you think it's got to go 10 yards. That's coaching. Let's get James in here. Hey, James.
What's going on, guys? I heard y'all talking about the Baylor-Houston game. And, John, you were saying the whole rape culture over there. I feel like the coach was like, hold on, hold my beer. Let me rape a whole channel. You know, it was like the whole – because it was pretty much screwed everybody that day. We all got tickets. It was just like, dang, are they going to – you know, they're going to reschedule that? Or
well, they keep saying postpone, but – there's no way. There's no way.
Yeah, it's out of conference. They're not going to rearrange.
They're not going to redo it. They're not.
All right.
It's a bitch ass move, Baylor. That's what it is.
Okay. John is so salty about this.
He was going up there.
I was going.
What are you excited about going to?
I want to go to a football game.
You just ragged on Waco, even though Chip and Joanna Gaines have their whole Magnolia Home Improvement stuff there. I bet Wendy knows about Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Here's the problem. It's outside, so you can still smell Waco.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Oh, man. What did Waco do to catch this?
He told you already.
Waco's just sitting there minding their own business.
Except their university.
Contact tracing. I'm chalking this up to coronavirus.
No.
Coronavirus. Way to go, 2020.
No.
And coronavirus, you just cost us a football game. See? See how easy that is?
I want to know what contact tracing was taking place and what positions were affected. Because if we find out
Charlie Brewer,
if we find out So you got a quarterback. Well, the question:
if it was Charlie Brewer, I'd say that's a good move. But if it wasn't Charlie Brewer, I'd say, come on, let's go play.
Yeah, we met a couple of our tight ends.
Yeah,
couldn't play.
Whatever. If I got Charlie Brewer, I'll still go. I'll play you. You know what? If we got a couple offensive linemen that can't go or whatever, defensive linemen. It's just
the only team who's going to take longer to play a game than the Houston is Rice. Rice's first game isn't until October 24th.
I get that.
You know, Bill O'Brien is saying right now.
October you know what 24th. Rice said? We ain't doing that. I get it. And you're right, Rice. You shouldn't do that.
Here's what Bill O'Brien and Deshaun are saying. Keep talking about a game that didn't get played. Baylor. Yeah. Bill O'Brien's been calling. Yeah, I want to talk more about the Baylor game. This is unbelievable. Can y'all speak more on that real quick?
Man, the Texans should have done that. Texans should have
contact tracing.
We can't play.
We can't make up the Ravens game.
We can't make it up. Yeah, you could. They both have the bye week in week
contact
7 or whatever.
Trace again then.
All right.
Start popping false positives.
That's what needs to be done. I'm telling you, Alabama's going to play 3 games this year because everybody's going to go, nah.
Some false positives.
That starts on Saturday. We'll see how many SEC games get played on Saturday.
Who they got first?
Alabama, it's a team that clearly wants no part of them because they're Alabama, but it's like a sacrificial lamb. I don't, because A&M has Vandy.
Yeah. All of the top teams have bottom tier teams.
They got
Missouri?
They got Missouri.
Missouri.
And Missouri's already missing, like they announced last Saturday, they're missing 12 guys because of contact tracing COVID and you go to 14-day quarantine. Missouri. It wouldn't matter, but they've already down 12 players.
Chances Missouri says, nah. I'm telling you,
this is a
60-40 deal.
See, the thing is, I don't know if the SEC will allow you. Well, I don't think it'll be looked down harshly if you do that in the
and
SEC.
And what are you going to do, kick us out?
Well.
We ain't really in it anyway.
Okay.
We're not really in it anyway. Y'all don't accept us anyway. We're Missouri.
I don't think they're going to screw over Alabama in their first game. Maybe later.
I don't know. I'm not guaranteeing. I think it's a 60% chance they don't play this one. Missouri's going to go, nah. Your turn.
Yeah. Texas Custom Patios is who I was, I'm speaking for. And it's, man, what a great weekend. I love the, I'll sit out there when it rains. I'll sit out on that patio. I love hearing the sound of rain. And I watched my Texans game out there yesterday. I watched actually all the NFL action. I was out there on one of my chairs, just enjoying it. The kids have been enjoying dinners and lunches out there. I've got a son who's doing his at-home school stuff out on the patio. When you have a patio from Texas Custom Patios, the process is awesome because they can get on a Zoom and take you through the CAD process, which is basically they can design exactly what your home is going to look like, and the rendering is so lifelike. It's amazing. Now, they've done so many patios now that they can show you a before and after of a home that will look similar to yours in terms of structure so that you can see what a patio is potentially going to look like. And of course, you have input into whatever you'd like to have input into. But I'm just telling you this, they go that extra mile. I had them actually redo all the windows, the siding, the gutters. We did everything. The backyard was a completely different look, And yet, it looks exactly like it was designed with the house because it was blended into the home. They matched the pre-existing roofing structure that I have, which is a metal roof. And it was it is just an amazing day. Anytime I get to sit out there and enjoy my own patio. Get your own outdoor living space or outdoor kitchen with TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.